is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner. Today I'm speaking with Catholic author Katrin Bennett. Katrin is a homeschooling mom and author of the award-winning book, Holier Matrimony, Married Saints, Catholic Vows, and Sacramental Grace. You can also find her writing on Substack and CatholicMom.com. Katrin and her husband Chris live in Leonardtown, Maryland, and are parishioners of St. John Francis Regis Parish. They have three young children and are counting the days to welcoming their fourth. Katrin, I'm excited to welcome you to the show. Thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you so much for having me too, Rita.
Katrin, I'd love to hear from you. How did you initially get the idea for this book, and how did it evolve as you worked on it? And maybe just tell us a little bit about the concept of the book.
It did evolve a lot. I kind of was just interested at first in learning for myself about saints who were married, because I had really enjoyed having friendship with saints throughout college and early young adulthood. But when I got married, I kind of realized not many of the saints that I knew or most people talked about were married. And I wanted to have some saints that I could look to as examples as a wife and pray for their intercession. So I just was doing that research for myself, and it kind of slowly became like, maybe this would be a good book. And a big thing that evolved about the structure of the book was it was only going to be a collection of biographies of those saints at first. And then that kind of just naturally, and I prayed about it as I was writing, and God gave me the other two parts of the book, which are explaining the vows that we take as Catholics, yeah, and then just the grace of the sacrament also. And that those all three kind of melded together into what is the book now.
Oh, so interesting. Yeah, I loved how there was a balance of that, like the storytelling, but also the reflective pieces on your part and just how it all came together. I was really curious how it might have grown and evolved from what the initial thought was.
Yeah, God had a much bigger plan than I had for it, as usual.
He so often does. I'd love to hear you talk about, I know there's so many saints in the book, but I was struck by the diversity of their experiences, their lives, the people you picked. You know, I turn a page and then I'm thinking, oh, right, Joseph and Mary, I should have known they'd be here. But I loved how you brought it together. I would be curious to hear how it worked for you, like how you knew who to include, how you came across their stories and their lives and the research that went into it.
I really think that's a God thing too, that I had a whole list of people that I was starting to research, which was probably at least twice as long as the people who ended up in the book. And for various reasons, I was crossing people off. Either there wasn't enough information about them, or two stories were really similar to each other and I wanted more diversity, like you said. And it wasn't really until I started adding in the vows that it all clicked. It seemed to click perfectly. And I was like, oh, that's why God wanted this person in the book, because they're such a good example of the vow to love your spouse in sickness and in health. You know,
I love that.
Was really cool to see that come together.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. And it turns out to be a really great read. I loved your storytelling. I thought that was really well done, and could be really challenging to do all that research and then feel you're doing justice to those stories of those lives. What was that like for you as far as kind of feeling more connected to the people you were writing about? Did you feel like you were developing a relationship or a friendship with them as you worked?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have trouble picking when people ask me who's your favorite thing in the book, because I really am attached to all of them at this point. I feel like a lot of saint biographies, if you have, you know, like an anthology, a collection of them, it's usually just one or two pages about each person, and 75% of the biography is details about how they were martyred. You know, and it's Amazing that they wear that kind of martyrdom, but I want to know more about their personal life and hear the words that they spoke or that they wrote or that their friends said about them. So I try to have a balance in my book of hearing from those people directly and what their relationships with each other were like and not just how they died, because some people in my book are also martyrs, but that's not all that they were. They were married people, they were parents, they were part of their communities, and that's all really important to me.
That is something that's striking about the work that you had to put into it. I think that marriage can be such a, personal, private experience. And so I wondered a little about how going into the book, like how you would research how holy someone's marriage was, or how they brought holiness to their marriage, or whether that was reflected more in their parenting or more in their like not business, but just interesting to me how you would be able even to do the research into a married couple. I just wondered whether that would be challenging because you could maybe find more about this person than the spouse, or depending on what work they had done or how publicly they lived their lives or perhaps how they died, which is of course how we often remember our saints is how they gave their lives to God at the end. So I wondered what that process was like for you in trying to kind of dig into a marriage and really find that holiness and find that inspiration that would be something your readers would want to connect to.
The finding the resources was definitely interesting. I started off, just online, and I ended up having to buy a lot of books that were out of print. And in one case, the book wasn't even available in English, and I actually
Oh
speak a
no.
decent amount of Spanish, so I translated it myself. For one of my couples that's pretty recent, they died in 1994 in the genocide in Rwanda. I
Oh
was
yeah.
communicating with one of their friends who knew them
Oh
before they
wow.
died. In I had to Google Translate all my emails into French because I do not speak French, and he only
Right.
speaks French. So that was really makes that chapter really personal, and
Yeah.
yeah, just a lot of different ways to get their stories down.
Oh my goodness, that was a really compelling chapter. Could you share their names with our listeners?
Yes, they're not saints. They're early on in the process, so they're both called servants of God, Cyprian and Daphrose Rugamba. And yeah, I love them. They have a story of conversion for the man Cyprian, spiritual conversion when he was also healed physically of a pretty debilitating illness. So it was a big miraculous conversion all around that way.
Yeah.
And then they were able to work together to bring a lot of peace and unity to Rwanda in a time when obviously the country needed it.
Yeah, that is such a powerful story, and I loved that some of the stories that were included. I mean, the marriage didn't always go swimmingly. There were a lot of obstacles. There were a lot of challenges, and that's faith, right? That's the life of faith we lead, but it isn't as if you would necessarily look at their marriage in the early part of the story and think, oh, yes, that's what we want to emulate as a
Definitely
couple.
not.
Right. Yeah. And so I loved how you brought that rawness and that reality, those struggles that they went through, and the prayer that must have been part of that, and how God was working throughout it. Just very
Yeah,
inspiring.
she prayed for him every day and for all of their children. They had nine children, and she brought those nine children to mass with her, even when he wouldn't come with her, as well as also a 10th child that wasn't hers that he had out of the marriage.
Oh wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyone who's brought even one child to mass knows the challenge that can be just on the surface. So that's really its own gift that she was able to do that. But what a powerful story that is. And I love that you included that. They were new to me. Were many of the people in the book new to you as you were going through the research? Did you find some new friends?
Probably half were new or pretty much new, and then the other half, like you mentioned, Mary and Joseph, obviously they're going to be in there. Most people at this point have heard about Louis and Zélie Martin, the parents of
Yeah.
Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. They're in there. Who else is pretty common. St. Thomas More, a lot
Oh,
of people know
yes.
a lot about, but probably don't think about him as much as a husband and a father.
Yeah. I was
And I love
surprised. I mean, I
him.
knew who he was, but I was still surprised to see him there. It was still like, oh, of course. That makes sense.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
his wife is not, he actually had two wives. His first wife died and then he
Yeah.
remarried. They're not, servants of God or blesseds or saints or anything.
Yeah.
They were holy women also, but that chapter is just about him, and then some other chapters are about both people in the marriage, so.
Yeah. I mean, when you're writing about the ones that are more household names to us, like Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah and the Martins, is there a challenge to bringing something fresh to that, or how did you work through that as a writer?
Yeah, I think there can be. It's more initially compelling that you've never heard of somebody. Like, let's read this chapter because I don't know anything about them. But I definitely learned a lot about people that I thought I knew a lot about, even Mary and Joseph, reading new sources I had never read before. A lot of it is speculative or people's opinions, but it was still an interesting perspective to think about with those people.
Oh, I love that. Our guest today is Katrin Bennett. I'm Rita Bittner, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back in just a moment to speak a little more about Holier Matrimony, a new book.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Dramatic renovations to Notre Dame Preparatory School's cafeteria in Towson are underway, an effort that will transform the space into the Huffman Commons at the beginning of the 2026-27 school year. Funding comes through Common Ground, Building NDP's Future, the school's first sprint campaign with a goal of $6.5 million by June 30th. Proceeds will support the renovations and the school's annual fund. The $10 million project will transform the cafeteria into a commons center featuring flexible seating areas, a student cafe, and a new kitchen with a wood-fired pizza oven. A 2,300-square-foot addition to the current 10,000-square-foot cafeteria will include windows and a faculty and staff dining room with a patio. The space is named after Richard and Dawn Huffman, whose daughter Addison is a current senior at the school. Through the Huffman Family Foundation, they donated $1 million to the campaign, as well as the School Sisters of Notre Dame, founders of the school, who also donated $1 million to the campaign. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Cardinal Pierre Battista Pisabella, Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, strongly criticized the U.S.-led Board of Peace, an international body chaired by President Donald Trump, to oversee the governance and the reconstruction of Gaza. At a February 6 event at the Roman parish of San Francesco a Ripa Grande, Cardinal Pisabella was asked by moderator Maria Gianitti, Rome correspondent for an Italian news channel, about his thoughts on the Board of Peace. Quote, "What do I think of the Board of Peace? I think it's a colonialist operation, others deciding for the Palestinians," Cardinal Pisabella said. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. And if you're looking for a good old-fashioned fish fry this Lent, we have a complete listing at archbalt.org/Lent. That's archbalt.org/Lent. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner, and we're talking with Catholic author Katrin Bennett about her new book, Holier Matrimony. Katrin, as we're talking so much about marriage, I would love to hear from you a little bit about your vocation to married life. How did you and Chris meet? How did you come to see that marriage was part of what God might be inviting you into in your life and in your faith life.
I think I always was pretty sure I was called to be a wife and a mother. I felt a really strong compulsion to be a mother, especially. But it was just a matter of finding who that man was that God had in store for me. I met my husband, Chris, at a Halloween party hosted by the Knights of Columbus. And he was dressed as Batman and I was dressed as Catwoman, which is why we spoke to each other in the first place. And yeah, we pretty much started dating right away, and we are going to celebrate 10 years of marriage this April.
Oh my gosh.
Almost 4 kids. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's so exciting. Are you both superhero people, or did that just happen to be what you were wearing that day?
He definitely is. He did comic books all throughout childhood and everything. That's why he was wearing very legitimate Batman costume that he ordered. For me, I didn't even want to go to the party, but some of my roommates at the time were going to go, and they were dressing as Superman and whatever. And they said, oh, we can really easily make you a Catwoman costume by just putting some ears on a headband and making a little mask. So you'll match with us. And that's the only reason I was even there.
That's great. I love it. I always love stories of how people met. And did you fairly quickly know that you were on a path toward marriage, or what was that like for you?
I would say so. I think because we were both already senior year of college or grad school year of college, and hoping to be married, both of us, you know, fairly young in the next few years, there wasn't a lot of just, oh, we're dating for fun. It was, if this is not God's plan for us, like, bye, I gotta find somebody else. So we jumped right into it. And I would say probably our first 6 months of dating were probably the hardest phase of our entire relationship, because we got it all out there right at the beginning. You know, anything we were going to argue about, we were already focusing on that from the very first few conversations that we had. It's probably still the same stuff, you know, 12, 13 years later that are the issues in our marriage, but we got through it and we keep getting through it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Those pre-Cana classes and conversations are spot on, I think, in what they flag for you as to what might be the things to come. Oh my gosh. Well, how has your work on the book supported your faith in your marriage? And what kind of role did Chris play as you were working on this?
Well, he's been super supportive of me having time to read and write, especially while we've had young kids during the whole process of researching and writing and now publication and being on podcasts like this. Right now he's, you know, with my kids downstairs, keeping them quiet so I can do this. And I hope for both of us, it's been helpful to have these particular saints that we've become attached to, that we look to as friends and examples that pray for us in our marriage.
Beautiful. As a homeschooling mom, I'm sure you follow like a curriculum and all of that, but I was curious whether any of these stories have made or might make their way into, you know, your time with your children as far as schooling. Have any of these saints become important as far as patrons or people you look to for your own school in your home? I'm just curious how this tied in.
Yes, actually, the name of our homeschool is the St. Thomas More Gymnasium. I think this quote made it into the book. One of Thomas More's best friends was Erasmus, and he described the More household as a gymnasium of the Christian faith. Meaning, you know, like you're always working out your faith muscles and trying to hone those. And I loved that, especially because a lot of people name their homeschools, you know, the Bennett Academy. I feel like what's going on in my house is a lot more like a gymnasium than an academy. So that really fit well too. And so my kids and I do an opening prayer every day where we each ask for the prayers of our patron saints, and we end with St. Thomas More because he is the patron of our homeschool.
Oh, I love that. I love that quote too. That's wonderful. Yeah. In your book, there's so many pieces that I loved of what you wrote, but one of the things that struck me was this line: to love your spouse completely, you yourself must already be complete. Spouses' strengths and weaknesses often balance with one another, and it is wonderful when spouses help one another to grow and mature. I loved that you spoke to bringing your full self to marriage, not coming to marriage looking for you know, like with pieces that you feel are missing, and hoping that this would bring you to some different kind of fulfillment. I'd just love to hear you talk about that a little bit, because as you prepare to celebrate 10 years of marriage and your fourth child on the way here, I'm sure you have a different perspective than you did walking down the aisle to say those first vows. But I'd love just to hear you a little bit on that, speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in those 10 years of marriage and motherhood, I've grown as a person, and Chris has grown as a person, as a father and a husband. But I don't feel like we became more complete by marrying each other. We were two full adults that were giving and receiving the gift of one another completely, not together making one person that was finally complete on that day that we've been waiting, that we finally can be a real person, you know. So we complement each other, but we don't complete each other.
No, that makes sense. I love that. I saw that your book won a first place Catholic Media Association Book Award in the category Pastoral Ministry Parish Life, which seems like just an incredible honor. And for a debut book, like, just congratulations. How wonderful.
Thank you.
And so it's great to get that kind of endorsement, that kind of public notice. But I was thinking perhaps also just as wonderful for you might be some of the comments and feedback you've gotten from readers who read the book, people you know or people you don't know. What are some of those comments that you might like to share, some of the feedback that you've heard that has made you feel like God really did have a hand in this, and you're so glad you invested the time you did in this piece?
I especially love to hear when people tell me they're buying the co a copy of the book for a couple they know that just got engaged or is planning their wedding or it's going to be a wedding gift for them. Because that's what I really wanted the book to be, is to help people to be ready for this big decision that they're making and know what they're getting themselves into. Read the job description a little better before they sign up, you know. And I've heard from a few people that that's been a really nice gift to get for their engagement or their wedding. And that's what I love to hear. I really think God had that in store for this book. And I would love to see various churches or even dioceses pick up the book as something that they routinely give to couples with pre-cana. That would be huge for the book and hopefully huge for Catholic marriage, I think.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea. I love that idea, and that you kind of saw a piece, like a gap a little bit there, that there wasn't really that kind of a piece in the market so far.
I did.
Were there saints or stories or topics that you wish you could have included, but it just was becoming too much? Or was there anything that you would have liked to have included, or you might have thought of including that didn't make it?
Yes, every time I hear about a new saint that was married, I'm like, oh, I wish that could have been in the book. Some of them, like I said, kind of were a little bit redundant, such as, like, a lot of people love Saint Gianamala. She's
Oh,
awesome.
yes.
People already know a lot about her, and her story was a lot like a couple I have in the book that were also Italian and not that different of a
Oh,
time
yeah.
period, the Quattrochis, and they
Yes.
actually were both beatified together. They were actually the first
Yes.
couple to be beatified together. So I decided to include them so people could get to know them better, who likely already knew about Saint Gianamala, but she's amazing
Yeah.
also.
No, that's a great example. And I didn't miss her, but I can see where she would have been one that you would have considered
Yes,
including.
she died after giving birth to her fourth child,
Right.
which they thought was a big possibility. And almost exactly the same thing happened with the Quattrochis, except that she, the Maria Quattrochi, did not die in the
Right,
end.
even though it
They told
sounded
her that she
so
would.
risky. Yeah.
Right. They thought that she would. And so that story is able to continue, that they were able to grow old together, the two of them. So
Yeah.
that kind of set that story a little bit apart too from Saint Gianna's.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, imagine you can never tell all those stories. I did really appreciate that you gave Saint Rita of Cascia a shout out, because her life as a wife and mother was just so very challenging.
That one almost didn't make it in. That was totally my publisher that asked me to include her, actually. She's, doesn't have her own chapter. She's kind of part of
Yes.
the conclusion of the book.
Yes.
And I hear about that all the time. The people say, oh, I'm so glad you included her as kind of like a, if you didn't connect with anybody else in this book,
yeah.
There's also a married saint who's a patron of the impossible. If your marriage feels impossible and you don't feel like your marriage is anywhere similar to all these other holy marriages, you got Saint Rita. The church did not forget about you. So I'm really glad that my publisher thought of that because, yeah, people like you really love having her in there.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I kind of love knowing that she just squeezed her way in there because that feels like Saint Rita to me.
It's totally like how she got into the convent in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. That's so beautiful. Yeah. How wonderful. So terrific. Well, thank you, Katrin, so much for being with us today and for writing this book and for sharing so many beautiful stories and inspiring stories for us about marriage and about how we might approach marriage, married life as we all try to be saints one day, hopefully. Thank you so much for being with us today. You can find out more about Katrin and her book, Holier Matrimony, on her Substack site. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Rita Bittner. Thanks for listening.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.